Once again, here's Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, who are keenly aware that dogs have owners and cats have staff.
This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as our guest in this segment, Jay Hemdel, who is the curator of fishes at the Toledo Zoo. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Well, good morning.
Hey, it's our pleasure to have you. Jay, can you explain for our listeners exactly what the Toledo Zoo is and how it is that they need a curator of fishes?
Well, the Toledo Zoo is one of the country's most complete zoos. And the way that what that means for the visitor is that, unlike some zoos, we actually have an aquarium on grounds. We also have a large children's zoo here. And all that combined makes it a very complete zoo. So it's actually got a public aquarium right on the zoo grounds.
Fantastic. And what kind of exhibits or displays or animals would I see inside the aquarium?
Well, the aquarium is a moderately large aquarium. It's not as large as some of the big standalone aquariums. But right now we have over 340 different species and about 3,500 animals. So you can see anything from a giant Pacific octopus to a black-tip reef shark to piranha. We try to exhibit all aquatic life. The only thing that we don't have would be dolphins and porpoises.
And the one thing I kind of enjoyed is that you had at least an exhibit area where it was a meandering stream, and people could get a different, bird's eye view of fish. Is that still in action?
Yeah, we have a 3,000 square foot South American rainforest exhibit that the visitors can walk through on a pathway. There's a stream in there with fish. There's birds flying around. And then one end of the exhibit has small primates called tamarins.
Yeah, and one thing that I noticed with this particular aquarium, a lot of aquariums seem to identify themselves with either their native species or a particular area. If you're in Florida, a particular mm-hmm. environment. In your aquarium, it seems to be very diverse. It seems as if you have experiences from Africa, from all around the world. Am I right on that?
Yeah, that's how it's been for the last 20 years or so. When the aquarium at the zoo first opened, it only had freshwater fish, and it was only fish from Ohio. And that was back in 1937. In around the 1970s, they started to bring in freshwater fish from other parts of the country, of the world, and then they brought in marine fish. And now we're about 30% of our exhibits are saltwater, marine.
Wow, and that makes a lot of sense. I imagine it's an easy way of getting a lot of people interested because of the colors, because of the presentation, because of the diversity of that. Is that true?
That's right. I know that when the aquarium had first opened with just native fishes in it, I wasn't around at the time, but I recall people saying things like, well, they would go from tank to tank and see a tank full of bluegill, a tank full of black crappie, a tank full of bass, and then another tank of bluegill. There was only so much diversity they could show if they
right.
were exhibiting just fishes of Ohio, whereas we can pick and choose and get animals of all different shapes and sizes and adaptations, and also some animals that are important for conservation, some endangered species and things like that.
Well, in terms of the contents, do you get into the reefs at all or the living rock or any of the really cool stuff that, for example, I've seen Rick has in some of the smaller tanks in his store? Do you have that on a larger scale?
Yes, we do. This is something that's very popular with home aquarium keepers is miniature reef or living reef aquariums where you actually recreate a living coral reef right in your living room. And we've got one that is 1,300 gallons, so about 10 feet long. And it's a pretty expansive display. We set that up in 1998.
Yeah, and for the listeners that may not realize this, Jay has been an avid, passionate individual in our industry in that when we have conferences and learning or educational outreach opportunities for just hobbyists in general, Jay will be the one in attendance quite commonly teaching a whole audience of individuals at the, you know, there's a marine conference and such. Jay is well known throughout the world and certainly throughout the nation as an authority on a number of topics, and he shares that on a day-to-day basis whenever he can. And I imagine that comes to some both convenience and inconvenience to the aquarium itself. You have to find time off to do that, and I don't know if they pay you to do that, but you sure have played a very critical role in helping us become successful reef keepers. I would have to say that to be the case.
Well, thanks. My background is in home aquariums. I started apparently when I was 3 years old. Our next door neighbor gave me a goldfish in a bowl, and it started from that. And through high school, you know, I worked in pet stores. I had home aquariums, a lot of them. And so I've always had an interest in home aquarium keeping, and I've tried to see if any of the public aquarium information that we learn in these larger aquariums can be sort of redirected and applied to helping people keep fish alive in their homes a little better.
And probably to the extent that the saltwater hobby has kind of taken really strong roots within hobbyists, you've probably done the reverse and probably tried to disseminate information from the hobbyists, you know, wealth of knowledge and into the public aquarium arena, I would hope.
Yeah, we try to do some of that too. Right now, for instance, there's a relatively new type of aquarium lighting on the market, light-emitting diodes or LEDs.
Right.
And they've gotten much more use in home aquariums than they have in public aquariums. And so we're looking at that technology and seeing if we can apply it to our larger aquarium, see if we can scale it up. And, in fact, we're running some behind-the-scenes testing right now. It just started up yesterday.
Yeah, and for the listeners that don't know, you might be taking, I know from our personal experience, you may be taking 250 watts, or in your case, probably, you know, 1,000 watts, but in our case, 250 watts and converting it into like 70 or 80 watts to do the same exact job.
That's right, and the savings in electricity becomes so vital with you know, the economy such as it is, and of course helping the environment too, but with budgets and everything. So we're trying to save energy whenever we can.
Well, there's a great segue then. I don't know how many people will know. If you know about the Toledo Zoo and you know about their aquarium, you may still not realize that Toledo is on just the first step on a very big advancement in the aquarium zoo and aquarium element. You've got something coming up here within the next few years. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. This building, as I said, was constructed in 1937. It was a Works Project Administration building that was built with labor because so many people were unemployed during the Great Depression. It's a huge brick edifice. It's not legally a historic building, but it has a lot of fondness with people in this region, and it certainly has a striking architecture. Well, it's been since 1937. We've made some internal updates from time to time, like that coral exhibit that I mentioned. But other than that, the tanks themselves have been pretty static. And what we've decided is we've gotten funding from the voters of Lucas County, Ohio, to completely renovate the inside of the building. We're going to keep the outside of the building with the same look and feel as the old WPA building. We're going to fix the bricks that are falling out and things like that. But the same building's going to look, it's going to look the same from the outside, but the inside is every single exhibit will be changed. Right now, our largest exhibit is 7,200 gallons, which sounds like a lot if you have home aquariums, but from public aquarium standards, it's actually a fairly small tank.
Uh-huh.
After we renovate, our largest aquarium will be 90,000 gallons.
Wow.
And we're doing this all in this envelope of the old building. So there's a lot of architectural challenges with that. But basically it's going to, we're going to have larger exhibits. There'll be fewer of them, but because they're larger, there'll be many more animals for people to see. Things like sea turtles and large sharks that we really cannot exhibit well in our current situation. And so we're real happy to see that finally come to pass. It's been in the planning now for over 10 years, but it's a long process. The building, the aquarium building, is going to run as it is through the summer of 2012.
Okay.
Then it's going to close, and we're going to move all the fish to an off-site warehouse where we're building tanks to hold them. Then the aquarium building is going to be closed until March of 2015. Where it'll reopen. So there'll be 2.5 years where the Toledo Zoo, unfortunately, won't have a large aquarium for people to visit. We have some other aquatic exhibits around the zoo, of course, things like the polar bear and seal exhibits and exhibits like that. But we think that it'll be well worth the wait. When it reopens, it's going to have touch tanks where kids can come and pet a stingray or a shark, something they've not been able to do here at Toledo before. And we're real excited about it.
Wow, that's fascinating. We're speaking this morning with Jay Hemdahl, who is the curator of fishes at the Toledo Zoo. Jay, let's talk a little bit about programs for kids, because that's one of the topics we've been touching on this summer. What kind of educational programs do you have if someone wants to bring their kids down and make sure that their minds are staying active this summer? Do you have daily programs, weekly programs? What exactly do you do to help educate kids about animals and marine biology?
Well, that's an interesting question. The zoo itself has a large number of programs for kids. They have summer camps. They have registered classes that the children can take, as well as something called Nature's Neighborhood, which is a huge hands-on learning exhibit that opened 2 years ago. You know, the old children's zoo where you go in and pet a goat, and then usually set up like a barn or something. Uh-huh. Those almost every zoo has one of those. But we renovated our children's zoo into a whole experience for kids 0 through 8. It's all designed for those kids in mind. There's one entry, one exit, so the parents don't have to worry about their kids, you know, leaving and getting lost in the regular part of the zoo. That's a fabulous resource for families. The aquarium, I have to explain, the aquarium, because it was built in 1937, is set up like a museum. Everything's behind glass, except for that rainforest exhibit that you can walk through. Mm-hmm. Everything else is behind glass, and there's not much opportunity for interaction with the visitors and the kids. So currently, in the aquarium, our primary interaction for the people would be scheduled behind-the-scenes tours. And then on Wednesday and Saturday mornings at 10:30, we do a shark feed where people can stand out in front of the shark exhibit and watch the sharks be fed, which is a real popular pastime. But the sharks are only fed twice a week, so we can't do that on a daily basis. And it's kind of odd if you notice we do that at 10:30 in the morning. Uh-huh. And the reason why is it's so popular that if we did it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the place would be packed and no one could get a good view of the feeding. So we intentionally schedule it for 10:30 in the morning to avoid, so only the people that really want to see it will get out here and watch those feeds. In the new aquarium, in the renovated aquarium, we're going to have daily scuba divers entering the big tanks and feeding the fish multiple times a day. So it'll be completely different in terms of interactivity.
So if you guys out there listening want to see the old Tiger Stadium before it gets renovated, now between now and the end of next year, you want to come out and do that. But one thing that would be nice is if you could give us at least a quick view of the overall zoo. We've got to tie it up here, but I was hoping you could tell us the zoo in general. What are some of the major exhibits that one might see if they're coming down there?
Well, I think that the probably right off the bat, we have a little baby male elephant that was born just a few weeks ago. Aww. And he's a real cutie. It's to tell you the truth, I'm a fish person. I identify more with aquatic animals.
Sure.
And the mammals are kind of, well, they're nice, but, you know, they're just mammals, right? But when you see this little baby elephant, it's just a wonderful little critter. And that's part of our renovated elephant exhibit. And so that's a must-see. The rest of the zoo, it's one of the country's most complete zoos, like I said. So there's an Arctic exhibit with underwater viewing of polar bears and seals. We have an aviary, a birdhouse. We have a reptile house. There's a conservation butterfly center. We have an Africa exhibit. There's just a lot to see at the Toledo Zoo. And the interesting thing about, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's in Ohio, except that if you understand, I actually live in Michigan myself because the border of Toledo is the state line of Michigan.
It is. And they don't seem to stop you at the border. So
that's right.
It's pretty free access. I know when I've taken school groups down there, eyes are huge. It is a great zoo from the hippo to the polar bears to whatever. You know, they are excited.
Well, Jay, we've run out of time, but I want to thank you for coming on the show this morning. We've been speaking with Jay Hemdahl, the curator of fishes at the Toledo Zoo, and thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Always our pleasure. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation and speak with the folks from Moat Marine Laboratory in Florida right after the break on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.